It's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African American authors. That is all coming up this morning on KBOO. Stay tuned. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary up next.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film screening at the Clinton Street Theater, is proud to show Five Broken Cameras on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, December 4th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. I want to first off thank our engineer today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks a lot for that, Rock. And Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Why am I doing this right now? Well, because we are in a mini membership drive right now. This is the greatest gift that you can give yourself and to your community. This is a miniature, tiny little infinitesimal membership drive that makes all the difference in the world. If you think a single individual cannot make a difference, try sleeping in a room with a mosquito. It's an African proverb, and it certainly indeed holds true today. One person does make a difference, and one person can make a difference for either good, as in the membership drive, or for ill, as in the police officer murdered Eric Garner. Coming right on the heels of Ferguson, the sheer arrogance of our power structure in this country is absolutely breathtaking. What it's going to take to restore trust in this country, I have absolutely no idea. We were speaking, though, on the subject of trust yesterday on a more global, international scale. We were speaking with our guest Alice Slater. We were unfortunately cut off. We're going to take up that conversation again because it is very important for listeners to acquaint themselves with the name Ashton Carter, who is going to be taking over the position of our Secretary of Defense. Let's not forget that what used to be our Defense Department was called the War Department, and then they realized that wasn't the message that America wanted to send to the world, at least not in words. And alas, that is exactly the message that America has sent to the world, nonetheless, in terms of hardware. Ashton Carter continues a tradition of mindless brutality, and will no doubt, as our new Secretary of Defense, continue to rampage across the world, sowing discord, mistrust, and war wherever he plants the American flag. Joining us this morning to continue the conversation, Alice Slater. Thanks so much for being with us, Alice. I understand you're on your way to a conference, so we appreciate your time all the more. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a bit more about Ashton Carter's sad track record. This is a guy who's going to be in a very powerful position. He essentially represents America's military face to the rest of the world. And in many places, that's the only face that that's the only face people ever see. Ashton Carter, what does he represent as far as the rest of the world and our community of nations is concerned with?
Well, you know, this is like a continuation of all the old militarism. It's what Eisenhower warned against, the military-industrial complex. He was in the Clinton administration and again in the Obama administration, and he's revolved in and out of industry. He advises Goldman Sachs and other military contractors and manufacturers. So he's been back and forth between the Pentagon and industry. And it's just, he was with Clinton at the time when they signed the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. I'm very familiar with the nuclear issues. And at that time, we had worked for years to cut off nuclear testing. He was his nuclear policy advisor. And Clinton totally undercut. We thought once the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty was signed that that would be the beginning of the end of nuclear weapons. But what they did was they added in another $6 billion at that time in 1993 to the nuclear weapons labs that Dr. Strangelove's at Los Alamos and Livermore for something that they called stockpile stewardship, which was computer-simulated new weapons development, coupled with subcritical tests at the Nevada test site. Now, in subcritical tests, they blow up plutonium with explosives 1,000 feet below the desert floor on sacred Shoshone lands in Nevada, but it doesn't have a chain reaction. So Clinton argued it wasn't a test, and, you know, Carter was advising him on this, and kind of like Clinton said, you know, I didn't inhale, I didn't have sex, and I'm not doing nuclear testing. Now, India was at the UN when they signed this in Geneva at the Committee on Disarmament, and they needed consensus for the treaty to go forward, and India refused unless the U.S. would agree to stop the advanced computer simulations and subcriticals. We did not agree. And so India went ahead and did their own nuclear test. They had had a bomb like in the 70s, but very quietly. But they didn't want to be left behind in the arms race. So when we went ahead with this whole advanced program, India burst out with nuclear tests and Pakistan started nuclear testing. So the arms race was on. It was just a disaster. The other thing he did was advise on the missile expansion. When he worked with Clinton, we had a treaty with the Soviet Union since 1972, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, where we promised not to build anti-missiles because we were building so many missiles that the thought was if we had an anti-missile treaty, we could stop the buildup of missiles. So that treaty was holding from 72 through Clinton, and he started fooling around putting infrastructure in at Vandenberg to go across to the Kwajalein that was going to, you know, field anti-missiles. And Ashton Carter said, well, we can say this doesn't really violate it, but Russia didn't believe that. And then when Bush came in, he just walked out of it. Meantime, the whole missile race is on. We now have missiles in Poland, Hungary, Turkey, where we promised Gorbachev when the war came down that we wouldn't expand NATO. So this whole Clinton turn to putting these missiles, you know, and starting to target them for Eastern Europe and then for the Asian Pacific, that put us on a very bad footing now with Putin. I mean, Clinton was the one who expanded NATO eastward. Bush didn't. He funny enough. And the other terrible thing that Ashton Carter did, he wrote this op-ed piece when Bush was president after he left government that he co-authored with Perry, who was Clinton's Secretary of Defense. He was the undersecretary. The two of them wrote this piece when North Korea was building a missile facility, that we should bomb North Korea's missile facility before they built it so that they couldn't hit us with a missile. And Cheney, of all people, who was then in government with Bush, criticized them for saying that. He thought it was going too far. This is Cheney, the peacemaker.
That's sad. Anyway. What about Israel? Now, going forward, we've got there are remarks of release of very powerful people in the Israeli government saying this was recorded, that they should bomb Gaza back to the medieval ages. They didn't say Stone Age, it's medieval age, so we can give them that.
I don't know what he had to do with the Gaza bombing. But he, in the Obama administration, was the point person on the pivot to Asia. This is another horrible militaristic policy where we're building bases. We're putting 500 soldiers in Australia with a military base that we never had there. We're building up Japan's missiles and South Korea's missiles and putting new military bases in the Pacific, and that was his baby. And the sad thing about it is that Hegel, I mean, not that he was, you know, a peacenik, but Hegel came in with Obama saying they were going to try to ratchet down the wars. You know, Obama said Afghanistan was a dumb war or Iraq was a dumb war. You know, they were going to, I'm not saying they were really on the peace side, but they were trying to downsize the Pentagon. They're trying to do less. And now Hegel's out. Hegel's out, I think, because of, you know, ISIS and how the whole Iraq thing fell apart, and now they want a real hawk back in, and that's who they have right now. I mean, there's very little wiggle room for some kind of peaceful...
Alice, thank you so much. I'm delighted that we could have you back today to continue the conversation. We're fresh out of time at the moment. Can just tell us one source that you recommend listeners go to follow this guy's arc.
I would just Google him. I mean, because, right. You know, I mean, I found this out just by looking up what he had done in the past.
Yeah.
So I don't think there is one source.
There's not a lot. There's not a lot.
But I ask everybody to go to the I Can Abolish Nuclear Weapons website. I'm leaving right now for Vienna, and there's a whole new exciting movement to get rid of nuclear weapons, relying on the non-nuclear weapon states, since the nuclear weapon states are so bad.
We have to go. I want to apologize for that, but that's the website to go to as I can. Thanks very much for speaking with Alice Slater. That's it for Air Cascadia today, and I want to urge listeners, call that number right now.
877-500-5266.
Let's do that one more time. It's
877-500-5266. That is the number to call. Now is the time to do it. You can also go to kboo.fm if you so desire. All of these things work. What's important is not how you do it, but that you do contribute to radio station to keep us on the air and with the news you are not supposed to know. Our news and public affairs are second to none, I say.
That's incredibly true. It is absolutely true. Whether it's the short Air Cascadia, the dynamite with a laser beam of shows, we're very fortunate to have Chris Andre doing that, or whether it's Teresa doing a 90-minute show this morning and putting all their heart... and thoughts and research, they're really digging for you. They're doing the digging that other reporters, other researchers are not doing. And KBOO is brought to you by your funds. It's you as part of the KBOO community that make this happen. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266, or even come down here. I know it's a crummy day out there, but if you're in the neighborhood, come to 20 Southeast 8th. We're just off Burnside, easy to find.
Nice and warm and cozy in here.
Nice and warm and cozy, nice lovely hot coffee. We have the wonderful receptionist Che at the desk today. And if you come in, you can pledge your support that way. You can check it, get a tour of the station, come back to Pledge Central where all the action is. But whatever you do today, make sure you donate to KBOO because it's going to be the best thing you do all day. Even if you hug your kids later, supporting KBOO is more important than that. All right, maybe I'm getting carried away. But what I'm saying is pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. 500 KBOO.
Oh, absolutely. Our fabulous phone volunteers, Katie, Adrian, and Don, are all set to, and they're ready for your calls.
Don't forget Sam. Sam's here helping out.
Oh, and Sam, our supervisor. Yeah. 83% of what we make here, what we do, is directly from individuals. Our income, 83% directly from individuals. That
you
means
folks.
You,
yep.
You listeners. You're listening now. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Bingo.
And now I believe we're up for flashpoints, are we not, Rock?
Today on Flashpoints, no indictment from a New York City grand jury on the illegal police chokehold murder of Eric Garner, filmed in real time as it happened. Also, black activists outraged at Obama's pick of Philadelphia Police Chief Charles Ramsey to head the Commission on Ways to Demilitarize the Police Force. And we'll get a report on what activists are doing in the Capitol to restrain a growing pandemic of police violence. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. A Staten Island jury on Wednesday cleared New York police officer Daniel Pantaleo from being charged with the death of Eric Garner. According to sources, and now it's been confirmed, this was caught on a video recording, and I have viewed it many times now, I have to admit, crying through the first few views, and you can see that essentially this young man was beaten and apparently murdered, left to die as it was being filmed. We're going to listen to a little bit of that sound, then we're going to go live to the streets of New York City and get a report on what's going on the ground there. Listen to this.
For what? Every time you see me, you want to mess with me. I'm tired of it. It stops today.
This guy right here is forcing me.
What you grabbing me for?
Trying to